Pastor, I am so blessed to be here at a church family who loves to worship. You guys are worshipers. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. He said, "You got more? Okay." All right, so I'm just going to kind of dive in a little bit here. Just for picking up where we left off last week, I'm not going to go a whole lot in recap, but I'm going to try to make it kind of quick. So, but the blessing of giving part two, I'm going to start with a different kind of scripture here, and it's because I've got something I wanted to share. I just kept feeling like I needed to share. Maybe it's for somebody here, who knows, a learning thing that God taught me. Ecclesiastes 5:5 in the Message says, "When you tell God you'll do something, do it now. God takes no pleasure in foolish gabble. Vow it, then do it. Far better not to vow in the first place than to vow and not pay up." And it's like, okay, what are you getting at? But there's a story that I have, a little testimony of my own to share. Really kind of, it's telling on myself, I suppose, in a way. But it was something that God helped me learn something in this. And you go to those meetings sometimes where there's offerings and then you make pledges and all that kind of great stuff. And so I've been talking about giving from last week. We talked about our tithes and how that's important. That's the first thing. But then I also started talking about this extra part of giving beyond that. And so I was in one of those kinds of services and, I made a commitment, made a pledge. I wrote it on the card and I put it in. And at that time, that was a little bit much for us because it was during the winter time, and winter time for us, when we're self-employed, can sometimes be a little slow and stuff. And so anyways, I made this commitment and I was like, okay, taxes is coming and then I'll, have it to make this pledge or whatever. Well, things still kept slow and stuff, but I finally had enough for it. But because things were slow in my bank account, I went ahead and just put it in the savings. Okay, catch that? I put it in the savings. It's there. I'm going to get that pledge. I'm going to give that pledge. And I kept not giving that pledge. And by the time came, every now and then I'd just see that and I'd think about it and I'd remember it. But, things were tight. And so for whatever reason, I just kept hanging on to it as though that's my safety blanket. And I think it was the Lord really prompted me every now and then, "Hey, you still have that pledge over there? You haven't set that pledge in." And by summertime, all of a sudden one day, I get something in the mail that totally freaked me out and scared me to half to death. And Stephen, it was from the IRS. And we had no issues with the IRS. I didn't know why we were receiving, but it was saying we have issues. And it was stopping my bank account. And it was going to freeze everything in there. All of a sudden, I started weeping for God, and I was like, "God, I'm so sorry. That wasn't my money. That was your money. That's not their money." And I'm repenting because all of a sudden it hit me. That wasn't mine to keep in there. I had already promised it to the Lord. I had vowed something to God. And I don't know if this is for somebody tonight or if I'm just supposed to share it, that I'm not perfect. I don't know what it is. But it was a lesson that I learned to be careful what I vow to and what I say I'm going to do, because it'd be better, the word says, to not vow if you can't, if you're not going to do it. And so you bet guarantee what happened. I called them. Now this is almost like maybe there's angels in the IRS. I don't know, but I called the number on the paper and immediately a woman answered. I didn't get a recording or anything, just a woman answered. She didn't ask me for any particulars. I just kind of explained that this shouldn't have happened to us, that we were in business with somebody else. This was probably from them, not from us. And our bank has gotten frozen and it shouldn't be frozen. And instantly she goes, okay. And she didn't ask me for tax ID numbers. She didn't ask me for social security numbers. She didn't ask me for any particulars that really a person in government probably would have. And literally she said, "It's going to be okay and you'll have your money back in the next day." Okay. I get off the phone. I thought, "That's strange, Lord. Was that an angel?" I was like, "You were trying to teach me a lesson," and stuff. And so I am so thankful. God has grace and mercy as he's teaching us and we're learning things. Careful what you vow. Careful what you say and stuff. But God was teaching me a lesson. We have to be careful. And here's a scripture for you. Luke 16:10. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And I ended last week with this question of, And I was asking not just the church, I was asking even myself, am I trustworthy with what God has given me? Because of the prophecy that had gone forth that Brother Cunningham had shared, of where the prophecy said to the church concerning finances for 2017 is that God is going to bless those whom he can trust to bless the kingdom of God. And so we've got to get to that point where we know we trust him and we're trustworthy of what he's already blessed us with. Some experiences that we've had. For 12 years, lived in a farmhouse, and the rent was only $500. And stuff in it for 12 years, that's all we paid. Now, you might be like, oh, my goodness. And I tell you what, acres of property, you know, and nice little home on this big, huge yard, two huge garages, $500. That's all we had to pay. And so for 12 years, and then it stopped. And it was time to move. The owners wanted, it had changed ownership a few years before, and they just decided they would like to actually really take ownership of that home and make it what they wanted to be as a vacation place for themselves. So I went in the process of looking for a place to live. And I'll tell you what, it was scary to me when you were only used to 500 and you have a family of seven and you're trying to find a home big enough for you and everything's over thousands of dollars. And we were, our income wasn't a big income either. So we were barely making it doing this 500. So I thought, okay, God, this is what I want in a house, but it's got to be 500, you know. I didn't think we could ever afford anything more than that because our financial situation wasn't that. But remember that promise that the Lord had given me that I shared with you last week about everything you have need of is already yours. That's what he had spoken, those words in my heart. And I remembered that. But I went through a process of learning to trust God, and it was not easy. And we only had so many months before they would have liked us to have been out. They gave us a deadline. And a week before the deadline, I was like, I had been to many houses and seen much stuff. Many of them were not very nice, but they wanted a lot of money. And I just kept thinking, you know, I'd leave thinking, okay, we'll put an app there, and we didn't. I was just, whatever reason, I wouldn't. I'd be like, nope. And then one day, about that week before, it was time, we still didn't have a place, and I just got with the Lord like I did last time. I just started talking to the Lord. And I said, I was looking on Craigslist, looking for something again. And I said, God, all right, I know you can do better than what I have seen out here. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would help lead us to the right place. I knew that, you know, we didn't have to settle for the dump, or we didn't have to settle. And so I was just like, God, I know you've got better for us. I didn't know what was in store. Later on, just a few hours later that day, a lady posted this house, and I saw it, and it was basically, you know, it was still up there in the thousands. And I looked at it and I thought, babe, look at the pictures of this place. I was like, this is so nice. And she had just posted it 5 hours before I had seen it. And when I called her, she goes, are you the family that's got seven people that needs a home? You're looking for a home? And I'm like, yeah, how do you know? You know? And so she's like, I had sometime back, I had posted this wanted ad on Craigslist. She goes, well, I read those wanted ads. I was like, how did she know it was me? You know, and stuff. And God worked the details out. Well, one of the things that happened when we got in there, I was like, okay, God, we're supposed to be faithful to you. We've committed certain offerings and we've committed to do this Hollywood giving and, you know, all these other things that we'd committed. We'd committed to missions that year. We'd committed to a camp meeting fund thing. And so we were in those. And I said, okay, God, if we're going to get in here, God, you're going to have to help us so we don't have to go, we don't have to stop any of those. Sometimes life changes and you have to, you know, reevaluate. But God, I said, if you could, let us not stop any of those, that we can still keep this up. Well, when I told my pastor's wife at the time what we were into, instead she goes, oh, matter of fact, she's like, God will take care of that. And I was like, okay, you know, seriously, I was still there, you know, that even though I had that promise, there was still that, you know, I was having to learn to trust God. The whole month went by and we kept just doing our giving, our regular, what we were doing. We didn't go back, even though we knew that there wasn't hardly anything left in the account. You know, it was like we got to the last day of the month. The rent's due the next day. And we still didn't have it. And Stephen, I was just hanging out that day in the house or whatever. And the guy that Nevin had been working for shows up on my doorstep. Now, he never comes to our door. He shows up on my doorstep, and he hands me a check. And no kidding, the check was the exact amount that we needed for the rent that month, the day before. I said, okay, God, okay, you have everything we need and stuff. So it was really cool how God worked that out. And from then on, it was like the Lord just kept providing and stuff. It was so cool what he did. And that's the way God is. He teaches us to trust. Sometimes he keeps us hanging for a little bit. He wants to know if he can trust us. Are we going to be trustworthy? And, you know, after that promise that God had given, God blesses. God blesses. And it just happens. It just happens. It's like this process of multiplication. It just like when you see now, here's the thought. As tithe is already belongs to God. And so we're only just given what God, it's his. The leftovers, and when we give something of that, remember I talked about that percentage. It could be 1%, it could be 2%, it could be 5%, whatever percentage you feel God dropping on your heart. To begin giving faithfully, regularly, when that happens, God says, how I could trust you. And stuff, and he begins to multiply and he begins to bless in so many ways. And the storehouse just kind of fills up. That time that when all the month where $8,000 came in, I talked about that last week. There was another prayer I had prayed. I keep spitting. There was another prayer that I prayed it that day. And I prayed this, and this is kind of bold, I suppose. I was just like, God, I want to start receiving the money for our bills the month before they're ever there. Now, I'm talking about the income for the current ones and enough for the next month before it's there. It was just kind of something I'd prayed. I don't know. I was on a roll that morning and stuff. And 2 years later, this is 2 years ago. So this is, I'm still in the flow of this kind of learning all this stuff. But 2 years ago, I began to see it happen, which I didn't recognize it at first. I thought, wow, that's cool. Okay, got it. And stuff. 2 months went by, and all of a sudden, I think I was walking in my house, and it was like, God just stopped me. And he's like, you haven't thanked me. What? You know, I didn't understand. You haven't thanked me. And then it dawned on me, wow, I prayed this a couple years ago, and God's been answering our prayers. And you know what? He started doing that for quite a while. And I was just like, it was like blessings of overflow that God was abundantly blessing upon us. That's the way our God is. He blesses when he knows he can trust. And so I had to learn to trust. There, that's, I guess, what at the beginning I shared. I had to learn to trust him. But then as soon as I started learning to trust him, he knew he could, I guess, trust us. Praise God. Before I end here, I do want to share a couple things. If you can put, Sister Gwen, put that up on the screen, that Robert Morris, okay, he's a minister who, he's not a UPC minister, so don't try to go and do everything that he teaches. But this is a really cool teaching that he does, The Blessed Life. I don't follow him, I don't know what, he may say a lot of great things, I don't mean to demean him. But The Blessed Life series is excellent for learning how to give, learning how to do finances and stuff. We were taught the series in our church just from our own pastor, from where I came from. But you can go on there, and actually there's 7 lessons of just learning. And then I actually just picked this book up in November or December when Pastor had asked me to speak. All of a sudden I was reminded of some things I'd learned during the series of giving and stuff. And so if you desire to learn more, he's got wonderful things. A lot of it is, most of it's from his book. And this book even has more in it. It's awesome. In the lessons online, there's about 5 or 6 minutes of music. If you want to fast forward, you can. Instead, it's good music, but if you're just wanting to get to the lesson, you can. Also, another one is Financial Freedom, God's Way. This is something that's by one of our UPC preachers, Stephen Carson, and he talks about giving your way out of debt. And Stephen, so pretty powerful concepts that he uses. You know, there's Dave Ramsey out there. I think it's great too. But there, God also wants us to be good stewards. He wants us to be faithful. There's, you can also teach your kids this. In Sunday school, we have offerings. And so a little plug for Sunday school here is that you can teach them by putting a quarter in an envelope, put their name on it, and send it with them to Sunday school, or put a dollar, whatever it may be. When you do that, you're teaching them how to give. And I'll tell you what, my kids, they've done it, and they'll give with a willing heart. They've sometimes given their gift money. I'm like, really? Okay. I don't say anything against that. They want to do that. Because God is a faithful God, that he will, when we give, he will give back more abundantly. God bless.
Angela, isn't that beautiful? I mean, that inspires me. How many of you feel like it spoke to you? Lift your hand and let's give God a witness as we soften the lights. I promised you we would not hold you long this evening. That was something else. And you know, it's powerful when people speak out of their own testings and their own pressures. And that book that she mentioned has transformed some congregations. And he has some stories of his own experiences in this department that will blow your mind, if it isn't already blown. I'm going to ask for Sister Angela to pray over us in this dimension, okay, this financial dimension. It's kind of like there's a generator, you know, that's turned on. That word dunamis, you know, that we say, well, but ye shall receive power, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive dunamis. In the sense of that Greek word, yes, there is that sense of dynamite, but there's also a sense of generate, like a generator. In other words, I'm going to put in you a generator that will continuously produce power. See, I believe that when Jesus said these words in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. He was talking about plugging in a generator and generating, getting into a flow of blessing God, his kingdom, to where we turn the generator on and things are generated back toward us and reproduced, a reproduction of finance that continuously goes on. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not just dynamite that he gives us. He installs in us a generator that kicks in and we are regenerated and our finances are regenerated back to us. Praise God. And I'm going to ask her to pray a special prayer. If you could use a financial blessing. I will tell you this. If everybody that doesn't pay tithes in our church, if they got the revelation on the blessing in it and the consistency of God and the constancy of his blessing, it would change the face of our church. If everybody that's not would step into that covenant with the Lord, and he would show you. There's no verse like Malachi 3, verse 10. Would you throw it up there, Sister Gwen, real quick? Thank you. There's no verse quite like this. We quoted it, I think, Sunday, Malachi 3:10. But notice how it's written, bring ye all the tithes. People say, oh, you know, what should I do, net, you know, or gross? And you say, well, look at it. Just even the way that it starts to bring you all the tithes. You want to give the government cursed money? Well, you know, I think of it that way. I think, Lord, I think I'll go with the whole, you know, just tithe them with the whole thing. And then with the money that they take out, they get blessed money from me because I've got your blessing on it. And I'm not giving them cursed finance. Just a way of thinking. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And this is what's so unique about this. Prove me now. You know, where else does he say that? I don't know. Where else does God say it like that? This blows my mind, this verse. I'm still feasting in this verse. And prove me now, he says. And then whether he's saying, okay, you step into this covenant, I'll show you something. I'll show you things. Just like, where did she get these testimonies? They stepped into God's covenant, even in difficult times. And God showed them things. And now they have testimonies in their toolbox that blesses others. Watch this. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. So wait a minute. Before he opens the windows, he opens you. All truth is parallel. If you want open windows, you have to be open. If you're closed, the windows are closed. But if you're open, the windows are open. There's a revelation there. Would you lift your hands? Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. As we prepare now for the last few minutes of this service, Lord, we're going to ask Sister Angela to pray a financial blessing prayer. I want you just to be led of the Spirit, Sister Angela. If you want God to bless your finances, stand and just receive that blessing because it's coming at you.
God, we are so thankful for your word and your truth, oh God. The testimonies of your word, oh God, they are true. God, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there be a special anointed blessing, oh God, upon every individual here, oh God, that our finances, oh God, Lord, would be blessed. Blessings of the windows of heaven, that they would pour out a blessing, that which we cannot contain, oh God. Lord, let there be an overflow. God, you see the faithfulness of your servants. You see the faithfulness of your daughters and your sons, oh God. Lord, those that are in their faithful stages of life, oh God, that are walking with you, oh God, that are doing your word, Lord, they're obeying you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that the blessings of finances, they begin to see it. They begin to see the overflow, oh God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we can be a blessing to the church, that we can be a blessing to your kingdom, oh God, that souls, oh God, Lord, have a place to come to. In the name of Jesus, let there be outpouring and an outpouring, oh God. Lord Jesus, minister to your people. Bring revelation to our minds and our hearts. Bring understanding, oh God, that if we open up ourselves, oh God, Lord, then, Lord Jesus, that's when you show up and you pour out yourself. But we've got to be the first ones to open up, God. We've got to be the first, oh God, who say we will obey, we will do. God, in your name, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the abundance of rain, oh God, Lord, that you send our way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.